we got down to about the eighth verse where we're going to pick up with this tonight. Trust the Lord to strengthen us, and we can give this out. It's there's so much in all of this that can speak to our hearts, and this is what the Lord, as I was resting this afternoon, the Lord began to unveil some more of these things to our hearts that we were studying this afternoon. Let's pick it up with the eighth verse. We want to remember this chapter is entitled A Cake Not Turned, of which we're going to pick up here in the eighth verse. In the eighth verse, it says, Ephraim, he hath not. That Ephraim, if we will remember, are the 10 tribes that separated themselves from the two tribes of Israel. And they're called Ephraim. They left off obeying the Lord. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. He mixed himself. We touched on that briefly last week. They forgot that God had separated them as a nation. And they began to mingle with all of the other nations. We read in Exodus 34 where the Lord told them that they were a separate nation, and that God didn't want them to intermarry, that they were separated unto the Lord. Now I would like to read again that in Psalms 106. The Psalms has so much regarding Israel's history in it. Psalms 106 and start with the 35th verse. But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. The 34th verse says, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. This is what God's people are doing today, many of them. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils or demons. I'm just going to stop there. This is what many of God's people are doing today, that do not raise up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They allow their children to be sacrificed unto demons, the things of this world, instead of being example. A parent should be an example. And we thank the Lord that there's some here that are. But these 10 tribes, they adopted the habits, and they learned the work of the nations that were round about them. And as a result of their disobedience to the Lord, to the Lord, and also because of their pride, they became, there's three things that they became. The first one here is in the eighth verse. They became a cake not turned. And then down in the 11th verse, they became, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart or understanding. And the third thing they became is in the 16th verse. They return but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. And we'll be speaking upon each of these tonight. First, we want to look at this cake not turned. This is, most of us have made pancakes. And this is what he's talking about here. These were round cakes. And Israel baked them on a hot stone. And it was important to turn the cake at the right time. We know when we make pancakes, you've got to turn them, or that one side will become burnt. And if you don't turn it, it'll burn. And then the one side of that will be doughy, and the other side will be burnt. In other words, the whole cake is worthless if you don't turn it. And this is what Ephraim here is likened to. Ephraim was this way to God. They were unstable. And this also speaks of the unstableness of man. They're burnt on one side and doughy on the other. Now I'm talking about God's people. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you go the way of the flesh sometimes and the way of the spirit another day, you're unstable. He is unstable in all his ways. And if Ephraim and many of God's people today had and would walk in the spirit, they would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's in Galatians 5:16. Paul says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And here we see that Ephraim in the ninth and tenth verses, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. These are serious and important scriptures that we're covering here. And the Lord has written this for us to understand that we need to walk with him and obey his word. This is necessity, especially to be in the bridal company. Ephraim here was unconscious of how God looked on them, but he saw their true condition. He saw exactly what they looked like. They went carelessly in their own way. They didn't want to walk the way God wanted them to go. In Isaiah, we read that my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, God speaking. Many of God's people want to hang on to their own ways of doing things instead of letting the Lord change them, and that they will let him enable them to walk in his ways. And that's a turnabout face. That's different from dark and light. It's opposite. They're opposite. They had mixed among the people. They had disobeyed God's word regarding separation. So they walked in sin. Unbelief is sin. And that's what they did. And sin makes man senseless. He will not listen to the Lord. And we're going to see this in this silly dove here in a little bit. It makes man senseless. And here in the ninth verse that we read, the words, yet he knoweth not, they were insensitive to the things of God, and they were departing from their husband. God was their husband. They didn't know that they were departing because of their attitude to him. They had mixed with the ungodly, and these ungodly had devoured their strength. Now we walk in the world and want to be like the world and not walk with the Lord and let the Lord separate us, our strength will decrease spiritually. The ungodly devour their spiritual strength, causing these gray hairs. As we get older, and we're realizing this more, I think, this week than I've ever had before, as we get older, we don't have the strength that we used to have. It's just a different way. You know, we haven't traveled this road before, and it's quite an experience. I remember my mother when she had to quit driving, and oh my, that was the hardest thing for her. But she couldn't drive anymore. And thank the Lord we still can, but just in everyday things, there are things that you used to be able to go ahead and do and tackle, and you forget now in your mind. There's a lot of things that change. There's a lot of things. But it's that, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I love that scripture. But it wasn't their yielding to the Lord that caused their strength to decrease. It was their ungodly attitude to him. The ungodly that they mingled among, they devoured their strength. They caused these gray hairs. And we notice here twice, God says, and he knoweth not, in these verses, in the ninth verse, that he knoweth it not. Many of God's people, they don't want to go on and let the word of God settle them down. And I love that. We mentioned it Sunday, that verse in Peter. The word of God's grace is able to establish, settle, and strengthen you. And it's this word of God's grace that will settle us down spiritually. And we'll want to grow up in the Lord in all things. And in this 10th verse, we find that it's the pride is the reason that man does not listen and heed God's word. Pride. In Proverbs 6, and I want to read this. Let's go over there. Proverbs 6. I was reading this book, some out of this book the other day, and I thought, oh, I'd love to go over this book of Proverbs again. Just at home, studying it and listening to it. Proverbs 6, and from the 16th verse. This is some scriptures we've never forgotten. So many of these scriptures we've heard all of our life, and some of them have just stayed with us, and this is one of them that has really stayed with us. Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Now, if the Lord hates them, don't you think we should too? Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Literally, this means into his soul. He hates it. First one is a proud look. Have you seen saints with a proud look? I don't need that. We've seen it. A lying tongue, a proud look is the first one. But this proud look is what causes all the others. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. That soweth discord means letteth loose with a tongue. And this is one thing God hates, for someone to begin to let loose the tongue against another saint, to cause confusion and everything else. Pride here in Hosea, he says, it testifieth to his face. This literally means it stood in their way. Pride stood in their way, and pride, the man will stand in our way. Whenever we want the things of the Lord, Satan, he will cause that pride to rise up within us many a times. And pride, the pride of Israel testifieth to his face. They do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. They were in terrible unbelief. And this is all picture of many of God's people today. That's why Israel is such a marvelous example of God's people today. All right, in this 11th verse, he says, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without understanding. They call to Egypt, and then they go to Assyria. A silly dove without heart, without understanding. This is a second result of their disobedience. This word silly literally means easily deceived and persuaded, whether to good or to bad. A saint can be easily deceived if they aren't established in the word of God's grace. Easily deceived. Now, a dove is a type of the Holy Spirit. But this dove is silly. This isn't the Holy Spirit here that's leading them, but it's their own silliness and their own... there's many of God's people that are even filled with the Holy Spirit that aren't established in the word of God's grace. We've seen this over and over. They're under law. They think they have to keep the Ten Commandments. There's many of God's people like this. They're like, and they're just tossed about. It's like a silly dove. A silly bird flips back and forth. This is what Ephraim did. They went to Egypt, then they went to Assyria. Egypt speaking of the world, and Assyria speaking of those that were going to take her in bondage. And this silly dove has to leave her nest to do these things. They just flit back and forth. The Lord wanted them in that land, and he wanted them to conquer that land and all of the inhabitants of the land. But they got taken up with the nations that were there. So what did God do? In the 12th verse, when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of heaven, and I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. So God here says, he calls this net his net, my net. I will spread my net upon them. God had called them, and they were his people, and this is true of us also. He will not allow us to go our own way very long. If we really have a heart and want to go on with the Lord and get like this, like a silly dove, and not obey the word. To me, obedience is a very important thing. I believe when the Lord took us to Bible school and we read that verse on the rules. Yes, I was in my early 20s when we went there. We had rules. We had to obey those rules. We had to have lights out at 10 o'clock, and we had to help. And that what was on those rules was to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And some of them didn't think they had to obey them, that they learned they had to. So they were his people, and God would not allow them to go over their own way very long, and he will not any of us. If we get turned aside, and his hand, and he knows that we would go on, he'll get a hold of us. He bought Israel. He bought them out of Egypt. And he bought each one of us out of Egypt too. We're not in Satan's bondage anymore. Oh, we've got a lot to be thankful for. God chose us to bring forth fruit for his glory. Not for our glory, but for his glory. He says, I will chastise them in that 12th verse. They were in covenant relationship with him, and they had forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. Many a saint forgets really what the Lord has done for them. He's delivered them from the bondage of Satan, and as Colossians 1 says, he has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We don't live in that old realm anymore. We have so much to praise the Lord for. We don't live there in that realm where Satan is the god of anymore. Oh, thank the Lord. God's chastening of his people shows that he loves them. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth. This is in Hebrews 12. And the reason he does is he wants to purify us. And that's why it's so important to take everything from the hand of the Lord. Let him do the purifying in our lives. Don't blame God. Don't blame him for bringing something into your life. He's doing it for our good. Whatever he comes into our pathway, he's allowing it for our good. Praise the Lord. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. I love these words. You meditate upon them. They're just wonderful. Then in the 13th verse, we have the first woe in this book of Hosea. The other woe is in the 9th chapter and the 12th verse. He says, woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Now notice, and I want us to notice the me's in these next verses. When we turn from the Lord and don't want to hear the word of God given out, and when we really give the word out and we don't want to hear it, we're fleeing from the Lord. We're not fleeing from the person that gives the word out, but we're fleeing from him. Now let's read this. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. Now these are marvelous scriptures. When we don't want to hear the word, it's because we have something against him. It's not against the person that gives that word out. I thought of Paul the other day. When we give out the word, I know what it does. I've sat in that meeting, especially in Kansas City, those years, and this word cuts. When you cut your hand or you cut anything, I know what it hurts. It hurts because it cuts back the flesh, and I know this. But it has to be done. This word has, that word of is quick and powerful, is living, it's powerful. The word is Christ. This, he was the word made flesh, and he dwelt among us. All of this is him. The word of God is living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow. How much closer can you get than the joints and the marrow? And is it a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart? Nothing else can divide like the word. But it has to, that word has to divide. And we have to accept it from his hand that he's doing something in us. And yes, it hurts. It hurts when God, people don't accept what you're giving out. I think of Paul so often. They wanted to reign as kings without him, the Corinthian saints. You can't reign, you can't be in the bride without Paul's gospel, because Paul is the one that's going to present us as a chaste virgin to Christ. We have to take it in. We have to let it cut back the flesh. So he spread his net upon them. He wasn't going to let them go their own way and do what they wanted to do. God chose us for one purpose, and that's to bring forth fruit for his glory. He wants a bride. And he's going to have a bride. He's going to have a bride. From the beginning, from the day of Pentecost, when this church age started, from that time on, he has been, saints have been, back then were running to win Christ as bridegroom. Some of them are going to be in that bridal company. It's not going to be just us here at the end of the age. But it's the saints from all of this age are going to make up that bridal company. From all over the world. Oh, that's going to be a wonderful day. I just thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to run to win him. Praise the Lord. He wants us to be pure gold, and we're not that when we begin walking with the Lord. If he has to purify us. He said here in this 13th verse, woe unto them, for they have fled from me, just as a bird flees from the nest. In Proverbs 27:8, it's sad when the Lord wants us to gather together and Some saints think they've got something more important to do. I know there's some that aren't able physically to be here. But when we can be here and we have some other thing that we think is more important, that hurts him. That hurts his heart. You know, I think of him. He's a man. Look what he suffered and went through for us. He went through so much to redeem us. And we just ignore it sometimes. We see this. Proverbs 20, 27, the 8th verse. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Our place is where God wants us. And many of God's people don't want to go that way. They leave the nest. They fled from me. Notice that. They fled from me. Destruction unto them. Because they have transgressed against me. Notice there, transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet have they have spoken lies against me. All of this is against him. You may think a saint may be hurting the person that's giving out the word. Yes, that's true. But the main important one is Christ himself. We hurt the one who gave his life to redeem us, that we don't have to go to the lake of fire. We hurt him when we don't walk and obey him. There's that pride that comes up, sticks its neck up, as Anak means a long-necked one, that pride, and you can sense it. In this 14th verse, and they have not cried unto me with their heart, when they howled upon their beds. This howling here, it's like a dog in misery. You know, sometimes you get sick and you just kind of put on sometimes. We've seen this too. People have a little ailment. Oh my, I just so sick. And they want people to pay attention to them and pity them, you know. And I've seen this. Use it for an excuse. And they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds like a dog. They assemble themselves before idols, is a rendition here, for corn and wine. And they rebel again against me. God could and would have healed them, but they didn't cry with their heart. Their mouth was what they, oh, I want everything the Lord has for me. I love him. We've talked about this a lot here. We can say we love him, but actions are louder than words. Actions are louder than words. If we really love him, we will be willing to obey him. They assemble before these idols to benefit themselves, not to glorify the Lord. We saw this so much during the holiday season. They gather together thinking it's a holiday and that Jesus is just left out. They have all their idols and they don't glorify the Lord. They rebel against me. Over in the 13th chapter in the 16th verse, he says, Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces. And their women with child shall be ripped up. And that happened. That happened. When Babylon came into Jerusalem, they did the very thing that God told them that would happen. And it's going to happen again. That's the sad thing. It's going to happen again. Then we read here, they not only withdrew from the Lord and assembled together, but they rebelled against me. They rebelled. Rebellious is as witchcraft. It's satanic. If we rebel from walking with God and obeying him, it's satanic. We're listening to Satan. And that's what is. The Lord sees all this. 15th verse says, though I have bound them or taught them and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief. Against who? Against me. See, their heart is so rebellious. He taught them how to war. He taught that nation of Israel how to war against their adversaries, but they imagined God was bringing these things, all this mischief upon them now. And he will, which they did, that they went on and they began to really rebel in a worse way than ever. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. This is the third thing that now that he compares them to. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. A deceitful bow. This is a third result of disobedience. This is one who shoots untruly. Deceitful means one who shoots untruly. Speaks of deceptive archers who deceive, who are deceived by a false flight. They shoot, but their bow is not constructed as it should be. One who shoots untruly. They pretend to love God, to shoot and really walk with Him, but they are like a deceitful bow. They always went astray from that mark. They didn't do what they said they were going to do. They went astray like a deceitful bow. And God couldn't depend upon them. You know, it's sad not to be dependent on. And because of this, their princes, here we read, shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. This is a sad picture, but it's how Israel, after all the Lord did for that nation, bringing them up out of Egypt and through that wilderness, then just before they go into Canaan, then as we had Sunday, those 2.5 tribes, they didn't want to cross the Jordan. And that to me was a sad thing. When God had brought them that far in 40 years, and yet they didn't want that promised land. They chose to stay on the other side. And Moses said, you're discouraging the people. When we don't go all the way, we influence others. We influence others. Moses told them, you're discouraging others. And this is what they were doing, because that half a tribe of Manasseh joined them after a while. We don't live unto ourselves. Our lives influence someone else as we walk with the Lord. And if we go all the way, the Lord will honor and He will enable us to be an example to others. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to move on into the 8th chapter a little ways tonight. Are there any questions on that 7th chapter or thoughts on it? They were words, but they were just words. They weren't from the heart. And so it went astray of the mark. They really, their words said that they wanted to obey, but their actions didn't follow up, that they couldn't be depended on. You know, one thing I love about the Word, it gives us instruction about ordaining elders and so forth, and those who speak, and that we are to prove the saint to see if they are grounded in the Word, because the one who has the responsibility is held accountable before the Lord for what goes out from the pulpit. So we follow the Word. As we said Sunday, we follow this Word, because we're going to be held accountable for every bit that the Lord gives us. Praise the Lord. All right, this 8th chapter, and this is a serious thing, because these people suffered terribly. This 8th chapter, we have the title, A Vessel Wherein Is No Pleasure. And that's what they became. And it's sad that many of God's people, God has no pleasure in their vessel because they don't yield to the Lord. We have a treasure in these earthen vessels, and the Lord wants us to yield to that treasure. In this chapter, the Lord continues to use every means of entreaty to forewarn Israel of their coming destruction and judgment of God. And this is what the Lord has laid on our hearts just of late, to warn God's people that yes, the apocalypse is coming. Judgment is coming. And if we don't obey Him now, we're not going to be taken up in that bridal company. We have to obey Him. We have to walk with Him. We have to yield to Him. Here God forewarned Israel of their coming destruction and their judgment, but they continued to violate and disobey God's word. They didn't heed the word of God. They didn't want to obey. You know, that word today, it's like a foreign word to a lot of children anymore. The word says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it also says to honor your father and mother in the Lord. We don't see that today either. All right, let's read this first verse to begin with. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed my law. This word set in the Hebrew is put the trumpet to thy mouth. And this, when he sounds, it's a terrifying alarm, warning of the coming invasion. Israel was warned by Jeremiah. They were warned by Hosea, they were warned. Especially Hosea is looking forward to the coming, what's still in the future. Jeremiah was warning of what was coming in his day, and they did not want to hear what he said. And I was thinking on that the other day, you know, a lot of God's people don't want to hear what the teacher brings out. But did they want to hear what Jesus said? They didn't want to hear him. They began to throw stones at him. They blasphemed him. They called him a devil. The Son of God himself, God manifested in the flesh, who came down out of glory to redeem them. And they didn't believe him. And I thought, well, it happened to him. Are we exempt from this? No. We're going to go, as Paul said, if that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If we want to be in that bride, that's the path we go. Same way. He says here, he shall come. He shall come as a swift and suddenly as an eagle in its flight. You know, we would love to watch the birds, but an eagle is swifter than all of them. Then God outlines here five causes for the judgment coming upon Ephraim, and we'll give them to you. We're not going to touch upon all of them tonight. It's too much. The first cause here is in this first verse, and that is because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. That's the first one. The first cause for the judgment that was coming upon Ephraim. Very disobedient. The second cause is in the fourth verse. And we'll just read the whole verse. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. That's the second. And the third cause is also in this fourth verse. Of their silver and their gold, they have made them idols, that they may be cut off. This third cause includes verses 4-6. So we'll read those. Of their silver and their gold have they made idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also. The workman made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. That's the whole third cause of why the judgment is coming. They made a calf, and they worshipped it. Today, man is worshipping the creature more than the creator. We see more and more the advertisements of pets. Pets being part of the family. Pets being sitting at the table and eating along with the family. Sick. They worship the creature more than the creator. The fourth cause is in the ninth verse. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Now, when we were studying several years ago about the ass, it's the most stupid of creatures that there is. And we read in Leviticus that the ass had to have its neck broken. Well, so does the old creation. Our old man had to have his neck broken at Calvary, and God did. And we have to allow the Lord to break our neck before he can use us at all. This in this ninth verse was a sin of seeking help from Assyria. They went up there and they'd gone up to Assyria. That is like this silly dove. They went back and forth from Egypt to Assyria. A wild ass alone by himself. If Ephraim hath hired lovers. Then the fifth cause for why the judgment is coming is in the 11th verse. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Altars shall be unto him to sin. That's the fifth cause. God has a lot of reasons for being angry at Israel. And yes, God gets angry. It's called his strange work, judgment is. But he's going to judge the nation Israel. This covenant that he talks about in this first verse, they have transgressed my covenant. This especially was the Abrahamic covenant, when God told Abraham of the land that was to be given to him and to his seed in Genesis 12. It was, I believe it's 12 or 15. Let's go over there, we'll look. This was the first covenant that he made. But it includes the Davidic covenant also. It's in the 15th chapter. 15 and the 18th verse. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now this includes the country of Iran, Iraq, some of these countries that are enemies of Israel today. This land belongs to Israel. We were able to get, we have a map at home that none of you knew him, but Brother Benton, who was in the Topeka Assembly years ago, he was an engineer. And he made this map from the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel tells us of the land that each tribe is going to get. And he made this map, and it shows that on it all the land they're going to have. We were able to go yesterday to professional printing, and the young man there was able to make copies of this map. It's on regular blueprint paper, and it's big like this. But he was able to make some copies of this. So I don't have them here yet. We've got to put them together. He had to make them in halves because he couldn't put it all on the copier. But Brother Benton, and he even made in this on this chart. It's a, there's a picture of the sanctuary, and how big was that?
I can't remember.
Was it a mile? The sanctuary itself will be a mile square. When you get thinking about that, now that's just the sanctuary. It's not going to be like the tabernacle in the wilderness. It'll be altogether different. The book of Ezekiel tells us all about this sanctuary they're going to have. But it'll be a mile, and inside of this sanctuary there's going to be booths for the priests to occupy. And that's quite a subject to get in on all of that. But Lord willing, we got 10 copies made, and we'll get them put together. But it tells of all the land they're going to have, clear over to the river Euphrates. And this man was kind of interested in this, and the woman was, when I went back to pick him up, she says, the woman said, I've always wanted to understand all of this. So anyway, you know, the Lord gives us favor with people, and I love it, because you find out there are open-hearted people out there that really do want to know the word. All right, this covenant here that they're going to have that we just read there in Genesis 15, it's going to extend clear over to the Euphrates, and clear over to the Nile River. But this covenant here in Hosea also pertains to the Davidic covenant, because we can't forget it, because the Davidic covenant speaks of Christ as the seed of David, who will reign then during the 1,000 years. He will reign for 1,000 years as God. And during that 1,000 years, every knee is going to bow to him. Every knee. Every knee is going to bow. That's going to be a wonderful day. And Christ is going to reign as God for 1,000 years. In this second verse, he says, Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Now, they're saying this. They didn't know. They really didn't know him, because they didn't follow to know the Lord. As we read over in the 6th chapter and the 3rd verse. Over there we read, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Now, a new saint that's just saved can know the Lord to a certain degree. He knows he's saved. But to really know him, you've got to go on like the Apostle Paul. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. What did that power of his resurrection do? It brought him up, but it also brought us forth with him from the dead. We are a new creation. We're not connected with the old anymore. We carry that old man around with us, but we're a new creation. Then we can know the fellowship of his suffering. Yes, we do. We enter into this. When people reject the word, and we know that they do, we suffer. We suffer. And then that other one, the fellowship of the suffering being made conformable unto his death. Just like he went to death, we die right along with him. We come conformable to that death. Though they cry, that second verse, though they cry, we know thee. It's not in sincerity and in truth. Let's read Isaiah 29:13. I believe we'll end here for tonight. Isaiah 29 and the 13th verse. Wherefore the Lord said, this is Adonai, or Supreme Lord, Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, or and their fear toward me is a commandment of men which hath been taught them. This is what the Pharisees did. They taught the people, but they didn't listen to Jesus. Their heart was far from them. This is quite a verse here. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, they didn't know the Lord because they didn't want to really know him. Oh, they're satisfied. They were satisfied with what they had. They had their, and this is what natural riches will do. It will take the place of running to win Christ. Many times it'll do this. All right, we're going to end on this tonight. This is quite a book. Wonderful truth in it. And it's written for our edification. It's what it's written for. Upon whom the end of the ages have come. Praise the Lord. They call on the Lord. You know, they'll acknowledge he's God. There's a God. I honor him. But they really don't know him. And this is what's taught in a lot of churches today. Oh, there's so much we could say on these scriptures that the Lord sees it all. And that's what I'm thankful. He sees it all.